This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, I'm back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We're out at Freshfields Village on Kiowa, live from the 2021 PGA Championship, getting ready for this thing to kick off tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We'll be joined throughout the week by our golf analyst Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor. We'll have other guests throughout the week, including one in just a moment. We have special shows on Saturday and Sunday. We're kicking off our 25 hours of coverage. You can stop by and see us here and have yourself a chance to win our championship gift pack, which includes a foursome at Stono Ferry. Our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship is brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. It all begins tomorrow at 7 a.m., and every Wednesday here on the show, we always catch up with our resident golf expert, Jeremy Schilling, one of many golf experts we'll hear from in the next couple of days. He is on Twitter at Jay Schill, writes for PGA Magazine, and he's with us now. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
I am well, Luke. Good afternoon, sir. I love the special programming. Welcome to Kiowa. And let me ask you, since a lot of the questions have been
Did we lose him?
The weather conditions and surrounding how the course is playing, what's your read right now for what you've been experiencing while on Kiowa?
Well, I am no expert, but I can tell you it is beautiful today. We have a nice little breeze right here. What I have found interesting is that people have come from all over, of course, to come cover this thing. And so I've seen on social media or even some of the coverage, people have really talked about the wind. Talk about how windy it is. Now, around these parts, we've known about that and knew that would play a big role. But that's become the big story is about the weather in terms of the wind this weekend here playing on the water. But it's a weather-wise, I could tell you just from a spectator's perspective, it is beautiful today. It is a great day to be here. The weather looks good all weekend to come out and watch some golf. You can tell me how it may affect the golfers this weekend playing in the conditions if things do get windy. But it seems like it's a beautiful day today and hopefully a beautiful week to have this event and come out and watch some golf here on Kiowa.
This week could be anything from a nice walk in the park to spectators to absolute carnage for these players. This is one of the toughest golf courses in the PGA Championship, Rota, and this is one of the toughest golf courses to play, even if there was no wind for whatever reason. And Luke, what's going to be really fascinating about this week is the first time post-pandemic that we have had structures back. And what I mean by that is like grandstand, like structure slash hospitality.
Right.
And how the wind touch through that is very interesting. Now, per COVID-19 CDC recommendations, a lot of these are open air, which are letting the wind flow through. Usually, those have a back to them or some kind of enclosed space, and thus the wind gets stopped. So what the wind does when you hit your tee shot, and then when it lands, especially on a par 3, take 17, and how long it's playing, and now it's been into the wind these first couple of days, and the trouble some guys are having getting 4-3-2 irons there. It's going to be really interesting. You have to control your ball, lower ball flight. For example, this is not a Bryson-type week. I don't think somebody who has a high ball flight is going to be successful if the wind blows. But keep an eye on structures, and let's see the impact of having the biggest fan experience back, basically, at any event since the pandemic.
Yeah, that's very interesting and good point. Here from Jeremy Schilling, who joins us every Wednesday, one of our resident golf experts on Twitter, at Jay Schill. Yeah, it should be a great time for the spectators, for the fans, being able to come back here full board with this event, but we'll see how it affects the golfers. Before we dive more into the PGA Championship and break things down, let's first, because I am a man of routine, and whenever we have you on, we always look back at the past weekend. K.H. Lee winning in Dallas this past weekend. What were your takeaways there?
Long time coming. First win in 80 PGA Tour starts. And the most impressive thing, Luke, is that they had a vicious 2 hour, 40 minute weather delay. Rain, wind, golf course completely changed. And he had to come out and had a 15-foot, 11-inch putt for par to try to maintain a three-shot lead coming out of the break. And he failed to make that par putt, bounced right back at the par 3 17th, hitting it close and converting it for birdie. His resiliency through adversity, and I'm not rapping, but that's just what he did, was really impressive. The only other thing is that, and I'm not sure if this was publicly known when we talked last week, but Jordan Spieth had COVID. And to be able to bounce back from having COVID-19 and having virtually no practice, he had played two rounds coming into last week, had only really been practicing for a week. For him to finish whatever it was, I think it was a tie for fourth, is really impressive considering he didn't have much practice time coming in. And that's a really good sign for this week for him contending, being able to come back sharp, because he thought there would be more rust and there really wasn't.
You told me there may be some warning signs for somebody like Brooks Koepka. What are your thoughts on Koepka heading into this PGA Championship?
Dustin Johnson sat out last week with knee soreness and then moved his press conference to this morning. And I'm not sure of what the current word is on DJ, but the bottom line is whenever you see people moving press conferences and withdrawing with knee soreness, that's not a good sign. And DJ hasn't been playing good golf either. Brooks Koepka says he's not 100% with his right knee problem. Says it won't be 100% for 6 months, and said that he's still in pain, but he can manage. But he's having trouble putting and getting down the putt, and getting down to read his putt. And he could not bend down much at all last week. Missed the cut, didn't play very well. Then again, 24, I think it was, under, won the golf tournament. And the cut was 6 under, which is one of the lowest cuts you'll see all season. So for my money, I just want to fade those guys this week. I'm not putting any money on them.
Rory is the favorite, at least the odds I'm looking at. He's plus 1,100, followed by John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Bryson DeChambeau, for those interested from a betting perspective or just to see who Vegas may like in this thing. It's a little bit different, I imagine, from 2012, or golfers are different. Golfers are in a different place than when we were last year, 9 years ago, with Rory. And at the time, I remember, we all thought Rory may become like the next Tiger Woods. What do you think about Rory going into this thing? Would he be your favorite for this event this weekend?
No, he's not my favorite, and it's not because of what happened at Quail Hollow. It's just the fact that winning is hard, and we are in a run of single win major stretches of guys who just win once, and we're having trouble finding people who can put through, two, three, four, five wins in a season even. Right now, if you look at the FedEx Cup standings, Bryson's up there in first, and he's the only player with two wins. What I'll say about Rory is this: I think he's close, but I don't think he's there yet. And I think that this major is primed for somebody to win for the first time. And I really look at Xander Schauffele as somebody has a lower ball flight, keeps it down in the wind, and I think that that kind of a guy is better than a Rory who is a bomber. Yes, and this golf course is going to play, at least in the scorecard, 78-76, longest golf course in major championship history, although I don't think it'll ever play that long any day this week. But for my money, he's got to really drive it better than he did 2 weeks ago at Quail Hollow. He was able to get away with a lot of stuff, but this week will have you in the Atlantic Ocean. And last I checked, Luke, I don't think the Atlantic Ocean is a place you can play from this week.
Talking with Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at @jschill. He joins us every Wednesday as we get ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. It begins tomorrow. We're out here live at Kiawah Island. So who are some guys? You did mention Xander, but who are some golfers, and maybe you've already brought them up, but some golfers that you do like that maybe this course favors, or they're just playing well? Who are you keeping your eye on here this weekend for the 2021 PGA Championship?
Xander always rises up in majors. Tony Finau has adopted the Brooks Koepka model. There's only a certain number of guys each week that can win. And it's funny, I was having lunch today with a buddy of mine who is big on having that confident swagger. And Xander is somebody, and Tony Finau is somebody also, that has a confident swagger to them. And I just think that this might be Tony's time. And it's going to be Xander's time eventually, but I really think this might be Tony's time to break through. And I'll give you two other names that I think really have a chance. Tyrrell Hatton. Anybody who plays the European Tour, anybody who's from overseas, and he's from England, has played a lot in really windy conditions. This is beneficial to them. And are you ready for a little bonus nugget of a name?
Yes, please.
Of the favorites?
Yeah.
A guy like Webb Simpson, I think, really has a shot this week. Somebody who kind of golfs his ball around, you know, has a good short game finesse. I think he can play well along with Matt Fitzpatrick. I have two long shots, but I think that was your next question. But those are my favorites to win.
Yeah, you know the routine. Yeah, I always ask about the long shots. He's Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at @jshill. Probably should ask you this off the top, but for those coming out to watch this weekend, from afar, give us a little scouting. Like, what are you looking forward to most from a golf perspective about this PGA Championship as it starts tomorrow?
Well, let me go backwards. You were on the ESPN conference call last week. Were you on the CBS conference call last week?
No, I did not make it on there, unfortunately.
Okay.
I was busy.
So the thing about the CBS call that I found interesting is who can flight their golf ball low? Who can, if your normal trajectory is, you know, 104 feet, who can bring it down beneath the wind? But a point that was made by, I believe, Dottie Pepper on one of these calls, it maybe was someone on the call from ESPN, I'm not sure. But from what they were talking about that I found interesting is these greens are raised. It's one of Alex Dye's contributions to Kiowa. These greens are raised, which means you can't run the ball up like you would a traditional links course. It plays more like a parkland course, even though it's links in its setup. As a result of that, you're going to have a good short game. Secondly, this is a very different type of sand. This is kind of beachy sand, not golf bunker sand. So you have to spend a lot of time in the bunkers this week practicing. If I'm coming out to watch, I'm finding a nice place with some shade because I know the temperatures could be nice and warm. Have some shade, get a nice cold drink, and sit down and actually see how these guys are playing both out of the bunkers and how their lag putts are doing, because you're going to have to hit it to 40 feet a lot on this golf course. If you can't lag it and you know, down there close, you got to have the least amount of 6, 7, 8 footers for par as possible. Easy pars are your friend this week. The winning score probably going to be 7 under or 6 under. It ain't going to be 24 like it was last week in Texas.
Well, you just answered my next question. I was going to ask you what you thought the winning score would look like. You know, back in 2012, this was in August, but Rory won here at 13 under. So you think it'll be a little bit different this week. See, you have me down so well. I guess I'm a predictable host. You have me down so well, you know what I'm going to ask. But Rory won at 13 under 9 years ago. So you think this weekend we're looking more at like 6, 7 under?
There was a big rain delay in 2012. It's August. It's wetter. It's softer there. May, it's firmer, it's faster. This is a completely different golf course. I would throw most of 2012 out, except if you want to laugh, because a lot of people on that 2012 leaderboard are no longer playing professional golf in the PGA Tour. So it's an interesting existence.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting look back at who flourished in that. Everybody remembers Rory won at 13 under par by 8 shots, but the cast of characters following him did not stay around for a while.
Yeah, David Lynn, Carl Peterson, Blake Adams, Jamie Donaldson, Peter Hansen. I'm an average golf fan, as you know. I couldn't pick any of those people out of a one-person lineup from back in 2012. Talking with Jeremy Schilling. Before we let you go, Jeremy's on Twitter at @jshill. He joins us every Wednesday. Well, yeah, we got the 2021 PGA Championship coming up tomorrow. Yeah, we're out here at Kiowa. But how excited are you for Knicks playoff basketball beginning again this weekend?
Oh, man, I am so excited. I'm so glad we got the 4 seed. So glad we're playing Atlanta. And I really think we have a chance to win this series. And I hate to do this, but if you want a mega Knicks playoff preview, tune in to a brand-new episode of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, dropping today, this afternoon, on all your favorite podcast platforms.
All right. Hey, I look forward to the check in the mail for the free promotion. Talking with Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill, who joins us every Wednesday. Hey, I got your seat right here next to me. Bryson DeChambeau's plane is coming for you at 3 a.m. tonight. And look forward to seeing you out here at Kiowa this weekend.
Let's do it. And by the way, you didn't ask me who my two long shots were.
Oh, I thought you mentioned them. All right, who are the long shots?
No. John Catlin and Garrick Higo. Those two guys are the hottest players in golf, arguably, and two of the hottest players on the European Tour. Don't get a lot of attention over here. European Tour's had a funky year. It was against weird fields, very weak fields. But those two guys, I really think, if you see their name on a leaderboard, don't be surprised. Could be good for top 20 bets. And I think Xander wins this thing ultimately, though. And we're turning to see now.
Okay, we got you. We're holding you to it. We look forward to it this week in the PGA Championship. It begins tomorrow. He's Jeremy Schilling on Twitter, at Jay Schill. Joins us every Wednesday, one of our golf experts around these parts. Jeremy, appreciate the time as always, and enjoy the PGA Championship this weekend.
Thank you. You too. And who are the Magic playing in the playoffs?
Oh, very funny. Hey, I grew up in a family of Knicks fans, so I'm right there with you. Let's go Knicks, baby.
Let's do it. Thanks, Luke, as always. See you next week.
Our pleasure as always. Appreciate it. Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill. Appreciate the time from him as always. I was a bad fan growing up. I grew up in a family of Knicks fans. I still pull for the Knicks. But the Magic jab is because I took on a second team. I was always a Magic fan. Now I'm a bit of a front runner when it comes to the Orlando Magic. But as a kid, I loved Penny Hardaway and Shaq and those teams in the early to mid-90s there with Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott and Horace Grant. Oh, great teams back then. Couldn't get past Michael Jordan, but a lot of fun to watch. Hey, coming up when we come back here from Kiowa Island, we're at Freshfields Village. We're on location. We're getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship coming up starting tomorrow. Appreciate the time from Jeremy, as always. When we come back, we'll hear from Dustin Johnson, South Carolina's own, who spoke with the media a little bit earlier on about what it's going to be like playing here at Kiowa. We'll do that next. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the More Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island, getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. 25 hours of coverage. The championship, the event, it kicks off tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And you can come see us here at our tent on Freshfields Village on the lawn for a chance to win a foursome at Stono Ferry and much more. Our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship is brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. We're over here by all the shops and restaurants. Come see us throughout the week. Looking forward to things starting tomorrow, and we'll be all over it, covering the 2021 PGA Championship all week long. Special shows on Saturday and Sunday as well. We'll be talking to some guests, having some experts and analysts on throughout the week, but also hearing from some of the golfers as well. And Dustin Johnson from, of course, South Carolina, stepped to the podium and was talking to the media earlier. Let's listen in to what DJ had to say as he gets ready for this. He's, I believe, the sixth biggest favorite in the eyes of Vegas for this 2021 PGA Championship. And here was Dustin Johnson earlier this afternoon talking about this 2021 PGA Championship.
Everyone, welcome back to the 2021 PGA Championship here at the Ocean Course in Kiowa Island, South Carolina. We are very happy to be joined by two-time major champion, Mr. Dustin Johnson, who's playing in his 12th career PGA Championship. Dustin, welcome. Your world's changed a little bit since we last saw you last August, you know, winning a Masters last fall. But, you know, kind of how are you playing this year? How you feeling coming in here? I know this must have been a special you might have been looking at this one on the schedule the last few years being a native of South Carolina.
Yeah, it's you know, it's always great to come back to South Carolina, especially play a major here. So, you know, looking forward to it. I enjoyed it in 12. And so, yeah, looking forward. Obviously, the golf course is fantastic. It's going to be a really tough test, and you know, especially if the looks like we're going to have a nice breeze all week. So, you know, the golf course is tough, and so I like tough golf courses, and yeah, I like this course.
When did you first play the Ocean Course, and approximately how many times have you played in your life?
I haven't played it that many times. I definitely played it when I was a junior. I couldn't tell you when, or you know, maybe once or twice, but and then obviously played it in 12. But I haven't spent a whole lot of time here.
Okay, let's start with Doug at 6 here, please.
I don't mean to dumb this down, but when you say the golf course is tough, which is what we've heard all week, what's your definition of it? What makes it tough, and when and why?
Well, I mean, it's tough with no wind. Just, you know, the conditions, the greens are firm, they're all raised, you know, as long, in long clubs in. So, you know, especially when the wind's blowing how it has been the last few days, you know, even the downwind holes are tough just because you're hitting, you know, it's hard to stop the ball. So, yeah, I mean, it just requires you to do everything well. You know, you got to drive it good. You know, driving's definitely a big part of it. You got to hit the fairways. They are fairly generous, but with the winds the way they are and a lot of crosswinds and the end of the wind holes is, you know, and the way the holes are angled, it's, you know, you got to hit good drives to get it in the fairway. And then, you know, obviously from there, it, you know, doesn't get a whole lot easier.
Have you used your 4-iron this week?
I've used, I think, every club in my bag this week so far.
Are there clubs you hadn't used in a while on par fours?
Yeah, par fours and par threes. Yeah, definitely, you know, 3 and 4 iron and 7 wood, you know, hitting into par threes, par fours. You know, it's not, especially the end of the wind holes are playing very long.
Did you hit your 7 wood?
On 14, on 18, so. Yeah, I mean, I could hit a 3-iron, but 7-wood comes in a little softer. So,
let's go to 8, please.
Dustin, update us on your health and what you've done since withdrawing last week concerning your health.
Yeah, no, health is good. I just wanted to spend a little more time on, you know, making sure I was feeling 100% for this week, and you know, did a lot of work on, you know, at home, and yeah, feel really good coming into this week.
Let's zoom out, Dustin, to Bernie McGuire. Go ahead, Bernie.
DJ, hi. Thanks for taking the question. You play the Shane Lowry on Monday, and I see now you group with Shane for the first 2 rounds here at Keir Island. I was wondering, did Shane take your money, or did you take his money? And secondly,
neither.
Was there any bet going on or not?
No, we were just out enjoying the course.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you enjoy about playing with Shane's company, and what do you like about him as a sort of a golfer, having won the Open, and also as an individual?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Shane for a while. I enjoy playing with him. It's always good fun, and you know, I think we get along well, so looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, welcome. Let's zoom out for one more. Let's go to Jeff Babineau, PGA Championship pool reporter. Jeff, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Dustin. I was going to ask you about the 7-wood in your bag. What made you go to that, and what do you find it, you know, most effective? What type of shots are you looking to hit with that?
I put it in at the PGA last year at Harding Park. It's just a, you know, I've always been, you know, kind of looking for a 5-wood hybrid or some, you know, something I can get up in the air and land soft. And Keith made me a 7-wood at Harding Park, and I hit it a few times, really liked it. It's been in the bag ever since. But I could hit a lot of different shots with it.
There's a club pro here named Larkin Gross, and you and Alan were nice enough to contribute to his GoFundMe page. I'm curious, are you do you know him well, or what was the situation there?
I do not know him, but Coach Terrell, I guess, does. And so, you know, wanted to help him out, and obviously congrats on qualifying. So, yeah, but that's about as far as it goes.
Thanks.
Okay, let's stay in the room here. Let's go to 11, please.
Dustin, your brother played basketball here at Charleston Southern. Did you ever come watch him play in that little gym? And what are your memories of that?
Yeah, I watched quite a few games. I think I was living in Myrtle Beach still, so I'd drive down, you know, for the weekend or for a game or something. You know, it's only an hour and 15, 20 minutes. So, yeah, it was great. It was always fun coming down to watch my brother play.
It's a tiny little gym, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. You know, I think my high school gym was bigger, but it still was fun. It was still fun.
And what has your relationship sort of evolved into now that he's been on your back so many years?
Yeah, it's been. I think it's been great. Obviously, he knows me better than anybody. You know, he's my best friend. So, and I know he wants to win just as much as I do. So it's always, you know, it's great. I got a lot of trust in him, and you know, I think we do a very good job.
Where does the PGA rank on your list of accomplishments that you haven't reached yet? And would it be extra special to win here at Ocean Course?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely on the top of the list that, you know, of things that I haven't accomplished and something that I really would like to. And yeah, it would be great, obviously, to do it here in my home state.
Doug, number six.
Go back to the knee for a second. What exactly was nagging about it, and was it affecting anything you hit or just walking?
No, it just didn't feel right. So I got an MRI. Everything was fine. It was one I had surgery on about a year and a half ago. So, you know, just got together with the doctor and physio down there that I use for my rehab and just put together a little bit of plan to, you know, get a little bit stronger. And, yeah, it feels good, though.
When did you notice that it didn't feel right?
It's kind of been off and on a little bit over the probably past 6 months. So.
Okay, let's zoom out to Kathleen. Kathleen, thanks for joining us.
Justin, what putter are you using this week?
What? I couldn't
putter?
Hear.
Putter.
A TaylorMade.
I understand that. Which model?
Honestly, I don't even know the name of it.
Okay. The reason
it's
I
a TaylorMade, though.
People say that you like to change putters often, so I thought we should find out what one you were using on the past Palom greens.
Yeah. No, I really don't like to change clubs ever, but when one's not working, yeah, I have to find something else.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you. It's silver. With a white shaft.
Silver. Let's zoom out once again. Dan Moriarty, go ahead. Dan.
Dustin, what does it mean to compete in a major in your home state as the number one ranked player in the world?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's, you know, obviously it's great coming back here to play and, you know, playing in a major. You know, I've got a lot of friends and family and a lot of support here in my home state. So I'm really looking forward to it. It was great back in 12. Obviously it's a little bit different now, but yeah, definitely really looking forward to this week.
Let's stay in house and go to number 11 again.
Dustin, I know it's just Wednesday. Can you tell any difference between August and May here at the Ocean Course, the way the course plays?
It's a lot warmer in August. And, yeah, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot from 2012, but I do remember the course. But, you know, the conditions are really similar. It was in good shape then, and it's in perfect condition right now. So, but the course is just a lot firmer.
And your results over the last 6 months or so, probably not what you want out of yourself. Is the knee the main issue or something else? What are you working on?
A mix of everything, but the game feels good. You know, I feel like it's been close the past few months, just haven't put it all together at the same time. So, but everything feels really good right now. I got a lot of confidence coming into this week. I feel like I've been working hard on the game and, you know, looking forward to it.
Let's go to Doug.
Said you got to have everything to play this course well, but what one area of your game do you think for this golf course needs to be in you'd like to see in tip-top shape?
For me, the putter. I mean, I feel like if I putt well, I play well, you know,
anywhere.
All the time. So that would be for me would be the putter.
Dustin, what's the biggest event you've won in the state of South Carolina in your life to date? Golf event?
I have no idea. I really don't.
Okay.
I'm sure a couple, but they weren't very big. Junior tournaments, maybe? I don't know.
Well, you're due then, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
you could think back, what would be, and we'll see how this week plays out, but going into it, the toughest PGA this would be since when? When was the last one that kind of got your attention in this way at a PGA?
What, you mean toughest
degree of
wise?
Difficulty, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Whistling Straits is tough.
In 15?
Yeah. Or I mean, it's a tough golf course. So, I mean, I think all of them, the way they set them up, play fairly tough. You know, a lot of it has to do with conditions, though. You know, even this course, if you, you know, get a lot of rain and it softens up, it plays a lot easier. But with it firm and fast, it's very difficult.
In your practice rounds, did you find yourself tipping it out just to do it, or did you?
Yeah, I played all the way back pretty much on every hole.
But you expect them around quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there are tee markers out there where they're going to move some tees up, and so, you know, hit a few shots from there, too.
And then if you look at your last two runner-up finishes in this event, which one annoys you most?
Both of them?
I was kind of thinking you might pick one.
I don't know. They're all annoying. I don't know what else to tell you.
That's enough.
All right, well, let's go to 11.
Have another chance to win in South Carolina later this year at Congaree. What do you know about that course, and what are you looking forward to down there?
I know nothing. I haven't been there. I mean, I've heard good things about it, but that I don't know anything about the course.
Family,
it's in Congaree, or that's the name.
Family and friends visiting this week. Anybody of special note that you're excited to have out with you this week that's not normally around?
No, normal crowd.
Dustin. And that was Dustin Johnson from, you know, of course, South Carolina native. Grew up not too far from here. Talking earlier today about getting ready for the PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow here on the Morrow Midday Show, as we're with you from Freshfields Village on Kiowa. Dustin Johnson, in the eyes of at least Las Vegas, is the fourth favorite this weekend. Rory McIlroy is the favorite, followed by John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and then you have Jordan Spieth, Bryson, Xander, so on and so forth, with this event starting here tomorrow out on Kiowa. Dustin Johnson talking to the media a little bit earlier. Hey, you ever have a problem around the house and you think, man, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation specialist can. Check them out online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. Especially this time of year, you're running around in the yard without the shoes on, or maybe you're in sandals or your kids are shoeless running around playing in the yard. You got to protect your toes. So if you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or a pool deck, the Canty Foundation specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and most importantly, the integrity of those toes. They're the Canty Foundation specialists, online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. When we come back, is something special in the sports world losing its meaning? We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Coming up, there's one special event in the sports world suddenly losing that specialty. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, out at Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island for the 2021 PGA Championship, which officially begins tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. In fact, yesterday on the show we had the man that will start it all, Nick Rada, joined us yesterday, and he will be the first man off the tee tomorrow. You can find that on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, getting ready for this whole thing. We're out here all week long, 25 hours of coverage, including Saturday and Sunday. And our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship is brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. You know, as things change, so too do the significance of certain things that we look at. things aren't as important as maybe they once were in your own life, right? When you start having a family, a lot of times you're certainly, for obvious reasons, a bigger sports fan as maybe a kid than an adult. That's why I'm very appreciative of this career that allows me to just be a big child my whole life and be, in sports. Whenever somebody gives me a hard time, it's for work. I got to watch the game tonight. But when you're younger and you don't have those priorities or commitments, you maybe watch more sports. You're more invested. You're reading about your team. You're watching them every week. You're more of a diehard. You're very emotional. Then as you grow and you mature and you realize, there's more important things in life than my favorite football team, and you got kids and you have to worry about providing for them, and you're now working for a living. And much the same in sports, things have changed like that over the years as well, where at one time like a 1,000-yard rusher was a big deal in the NFL. Now, especially that we're up to 17 games, it's no longer a big deal. If you average about 60 yards per week, you'll be a 1,000-yard rusher. That's not very impressive anymore. In baseball, right, 500 career home runs doesn't carry the same meaning it once did. Guys are all juiced up, and the balls are as well, and players are hitting more home runs than ever before. It's not as meaningful. It's not as special. Even 3,000 hits, but almost because it rarely happens anymore. Maybe that should make it more special, but the fact that nobody even gets there, 3,000 hits isn't the same. That's what you used to judge a player on. Oh, does he get to 3,000 hits? Nowadays, no one's getting to 3,000 hits. So who cares? You don't even consider that anymore in baseball. And so, too, maybe the no-hitter could be in that department as well. But the no-hitter used to be very special. It used to mean something. Now, we just had our fifth no-hitter of the season last night, and we're still, it's May 19th. It's been 7 weeks. We've had about a no-hitter a week. We're on pace to have like 20 no-hitters this year. Is the no-hitter still carrying the same meaning? Does it still mean as much? Have the same level of importance that it once did in the baseball world? In the sports world, you know, from 2016 to 2018, that's three baseball seasons. 3 years combined, we had five no-hitters over that stretch. And then in 2019, we had four that year alone. Last year, in a shortened season, had two. And this year already, we have had five no-hitters. And let me say, it should actually be six, because I think that Madison Bumgarner's no-hitter should count, even if it was only seven innings. Technically, it does not count. But if you want to count that, then it's six no-hitters right now through May 18th, less than 2 months. Is the no-hitter no longer as significant as it once was? That was a big deal. They made movies about it. Throwing a no-hitter. I remember all that. I'm a Red Sox fan. Let me reference that again. I remember all the no-hitters in my lifetime from the Red Sox. I remember where I was watching them. I remember how big of a deal it was. I remember David Cohn and David Wells' no-hitters in the 90s for the Yankees. I remember Randy Johnson's, all these no-hitters. You always remember them. They're supposed to be special. But what about now, and one's happening every week? And not only that, but they're not from the stars. If you're telling me that we have some dominant pitchers that are running the sport, if Jacob deGrom is throwing a no-hitter, and Gerrit Cole and some of the best pitchers in the game are the ones throwing the no-hitters, I could understand it. Go back to the late 60s when the game was dominated by a couple of elite pitchers. But in this sense, that's not the case. It's not so much about the great pitching that's being done, but instead the terrible hitting that's being put on. Right? Look at the guys who have thrown the no-hitters. Wade Miley, Joe Musgrove. Last night was Spencer Turnbull for the Tigers. You probably never heard of that name. The only reason why I know who he is because I spent years in the minor leagues and we faced him, and I've broadcasted his games before. But otherwise, nobody knows who Spencer Turnbull is for the Tigers. He just threw a no-hitter last night. And when everybody starts doing it, is it still important? Is it still significant? Just like in your own life. Like, if you accomplish a goal and you're really proud of it, then you look around and you realize, like, oh, actually, you know what? You know, like, I have a 3.0 GPA. You feel really good. Then you look at your class rank and you're, 200 out of 300. And it's like, oh, well, actually, everybody has a 3.0. That's not very special anymore. I thought that was a big deal. No longer carries that significance. And the no-hitter may be the same thing. The Mariners have been no-hit twice already this year. It's May 18th. New rule, if you throw a no-hitter against the Mariners, that doesn't count either, just like the seven-inning no-hitter that Bumgarner had a couple of weeks ago. The Mariners as a team are hitting below the Mendoza line. They had one guy in that lineup last night that's batting like over 240. It's pathetic. Guys can't hit anymore. And the no-hitters are going to continue to happen more frequently. And because of that, I don't think they're as special anymore. That used to be a big deal. That was the number one story. You wake up the next day and, wow, David Cohen threw a no-hitter. Or so-and-so lost a no-hitter. That was a big deal. Pedro lost his no-hitter in the 10th inning. That was a big deal when pitchers lost the no-hitters. Now, every time I fire up my MLB app, I get the notification of some no-hitter going on, and it's some guy you never heard from. It's soft-tossing Wade Miley, who doesn't throw over 90 miles per hour. He's no-hitting somebody. Doesn't matter anymore. I don't care. It's not special. We've had, if you count Bumgarners, and I do, six no-hitters this year already. It's May 19th. We've already had six no-hitters. That used to happen, you know, you used to get one a year if you were lucky. Now we get one a week. And I think just like the 1,000-yard rushers and the 4,000-yard passers and the 500 home run club, no longer matters. 30 home runs in a season, that was a big deal. Ooh, he hit 30 home runs. Now everybody's hitting 30 home runs. And no-hitters, I think, has quickly joined that group, that conversation that, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not as special as it once was. And unfortunately, that's a shame. I wish it was. Because a no-hitter is supposed to be about a night of near perfection, right? A pitcher on his game. And nowadays, that's not really the case. You don't have to be that great. You could just go up against the Mariners because they can't hit over 200 as an entire team. Get a no-hitter against them. Unfortunately, the no-hitter is not as special as it once was. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, kickstarting our 25 hours of coverage. Here at the PGA Championship, we're out at Fresh Fields Village on Kiawa Island. We'll be joined by Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor throughout the week with the special shows on Saturday and Sunday. Fan Talk, of course, will be going on from out here this week as well. Our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Fresh Fields Village on Kiawa Island. The parking for the tournament, or at least some of the parking, is right around the corner from us. So when you come out here, before you get on the shuttle, you can stop by and see us. You can get something to eat at the restaurants, go to the shops before or after you're done for the day. And if you come by and see us, you can have a chance to win our championship gift pack, which includes a foursome at Stono Ferry, as well as some gift cards to local restaurants as well. Got that over here at our tent. Come and find us on the lawn here at Fresh Fields Village. And there's a lot going on. We're right next to the Village Green Beer Garden, which is going on throughout the week, including this weekend as well, with I think it's 5 to 8 during the week. And then all day long on the weekend, I believe it is. And also all sorts of things going on around here. The Fresh Fields Drive will be blocked for pedestrian use all week long. But you have, you know, King Street Grill and Fuji Sushi Bar and Grill out here and Cantina 76 as options out here. If you're looking for different things, they offer outdoor bars in the street. Because the streets are shut down. Some of the streets here for cars are shut down, so you could sit out in the street. They have additional seating. They have space seating, socially distanced seating for you. You can head over to Fuji Sushi Bar and Grill to get some sushi and cocktails across the street, on the lawn even, over there. And you're going to want to fill up because I told you the prices earlier. You go to the PGA Championship, it's $16 for a Caesar salad. And, you know, $16 for a little wine cooler or something. So, you know, you want to get your, make yourself fat and happy before or after here at some of the great restaurants around here. Now, coolers are not allowed, but all sorts of different options around here. And there's a variety of different activities. There's putting contests. There's photo booths. There's live music, evening entertainment each and every night. There's a different performance, different band every night. And tonight we got Shag Night on the dock. That's perfect. That seems to be right up John Dixon's alley. Shag Night on the dock out here at Fresh Fields Village. So that's what we got going on tonight. You got the Drip Lounge with a hydration bar. Yeah, that's important. That's the big thing. Not only because it's going to be hot out, but I tell you what, that's become the popular trend that after like a night of too much partying, you go to the Drip Lounge and they hook you up to an IV and you get hydrated and you start feeling better immediately. So that's a nice little thing they got going on out here. They got the Drip Lounge. So if you're out here and, you know, it's supposed to be in the high 80s this weekend out here at Kiawa, you want to make sure you're staying hydrated. Bring some water with you and stay out of the sun. If you're not feeling well, they got the Drip Lounge here. And also, if maybe you had a little too much fun on the course or the next day, right? Drink responsibly, of course, but that's become the new thing. People go to these Drip Lounges. They hydrate with the IV bag, and you start feeling better. You could go out and start partying again. You could go out and watch some more golf the next day. We're out here all week long covering the PGA Championship, and we'll be joined by our golf analysts, Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor, as well. Of course, we'll stay up to date on everything else going on, such as the Tony La Russa story in Major League Baseball. I have to get to this coming up because this has become a startling trend in specifically the baseball world, where managers no longer have their players' backs, but instead give in to the public outcry, going so far as publicly condemning their own players for simply just performing on the baseball field. It makes no sense to me. We'll get to that coming up. Plus, the NBA play-in round started last night, and it looked like the Charlotte Hornets wanted nothing to do with it. Hour 3 coming up next here from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island, live at the 2021 PGA Championship. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.